When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always fun to talk to our guy DJ Moore, and he joins us as all guests do. Brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. DJ, good morning. How are you, man?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm not sure how you came out of the game, but that was kind of a traumatic game for a lot of people. You know, the crowd was going nuts. You saw the reaction from people. How do things feel this morning as you head to what will be Packers week and the toughest part of the schedule?
It's really time to lock in now. The loss to the Patriots was definitely one that shouldn't have happened, but it did, and now we got to move on to the Packers, and it's going to be a big week to get back to 500 and back on track to what we want to accomplish.
So, DJ, big picture-wise, this is your second season in Chicago. Last year, it seemed like things went very well for you individually. The team ended the season with the arrow pointing up. This year, halfway through, it just feels like there's something missing, and I just wonder if you could describe your state of mind, and from the outside looking in, it just doesn't seem like you're as happy with things, and it seems like you maybe have a little different personality this year than you did last season. Is that fair?
I don't know. I can't pinpoint what it is that's missing or that we're not doing to sustain like a winning season right now, like wins stacking them on top of each other. But, I mean, we just got to go through the trials and tribulations to get to the other side, which we're going to keep doing.
You know, you can't help but feel, watching you guys, that the season was going fantastic. You know, the trip home, that flight home from London, you told us you slept through a lot of it. But I'm sure that was a really good feeling. Then you get to the bye week, and then this loss at Washington happens with the Hail Mary and all that stuff. And it felt like, now in retrospect, it feels like that was a turning point in the year, that somehow you came back and you had won that game. Then that Hail Mary happens. And all of this feels like a carryover, which it really can't be, can it? I mean, do you sense that as a turning point in what was going on?
It can't be carryover, and I don't think it is. But the carryover, if it's carryover, it got to stop like now, because we got the rest of the season that's going to be challenges for the next weeks to come and here on out. So, I mean, if we want to keep losing, it's going to be like that. But you got to get it out the air right now.
So, DJ, we always respect the way that you're a consummate pro when you face the questions, even in difficult times, as it was yesterday post-game in the locker room. It's a pleasure for us to be able to talk to you every Monday morning and provide a little bit more context. So I want you to listen to this answer that you provided yesterday about what went wrong in the passing game and just help us understand exactly what you were saying. So here's what you had to say yesterday post-game.
A lot of man coverage. We got a lot of playmakers on the field that can beat man coverage. We just didn't get it done today.
What were you saying there about the struggles in the passing game? Because it suggested that maybe you guys might have been getting open or you weren't calling as many pass patterns that required you to play, you know, get loose against man coverage. What were you saying there?
Obviously, we didn't win the game, so it came down to us. Like I said, it was a lot of one-on-ones, and either we didn't get the ball or we just, I don't know. It just wasn't clicking that to be able to just – get the ball or just be able to have a chance. So it's like it was a one-on-one game. We knew that going in. We had a lot of one-on-one matchups across the board. I think we did a good job of all winning on our different plays that was called. So, I mean, we got to just find a way to be playmakers again.
It sounds like that's on the quarterback to get you the ball if you are winning those one-on-one battles. Is that kind of what you're saying here?
No, he got a whole lot of stuff to worry about with blitzes and stuff like that. So, I mean, he can see it. If it gets there, it gets there. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Like, you can't just pinpoint it on him because he got to rely on the line, and then he got to really rely on us being open.
You know, I got to tell you, it feels like the two of you have had a fun relationship, right? You've teased him with the bossy thing, and he was in the room when you did that, and you guys went back and forth. And it's like a fun relationship. But I just wonder, how long does it take? You've unfortunately had to play with a lot of different quarterbacks in your career. How long does it take to develop that rapport, that understanding? Do you feel like you're at a point where he either knows or should know exactly where you're going to be and you just need the ball more? Or is there something not connecting that is impacting the game?
I'm not sure. I know we had talks about it, and we'll probably talk about it again today. And, I mean, you only thing you could go from not being connected to just – getting step by step better and better every day. So that starts with like practice and even off the field. So watching film and stuff. So, I mean, it's going to turn around. When? I don't know, but it's going to turn around.
This segment of DJ Moore is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. So, DJ, you know how it works in the NFL. When you struggle to the extent the Bears' offense has struggled, something needs to change or people will be clamoring for it. Do you expect the Bears to change play callers and Shane Waldron to relinquish those duties? And if you were asked, if you were in favor of that, how would you answer?
I'd be like, that's up to y'all to figure out. I'm just here to just make plays for the Chicago Bears.
You know, it sounds like a solution. I don't know if you heard any of the post game, but when Eberflus was there, he was asked at one point if, you know, basically he would threaten his career as the head coach rather than change play callers. And he said that everything was on the table. And then he was asked more specifically, and he said, everything's on the table. Has that ever happened in your career? Have you ever been part of a team that had to change play callers during the season, and I wonder if that worked out?
I want to say, yeah. I think it was 2020. I think when our OC got released in Carolina. I think, yeah, and that happened.
Did you get better? Did it get worse?
I don't really remember. I just remember him getting let go.
Do you think from the outside that we make too much of the play calling and the what the role of the offensive coordinator? How do you view this? Because I do think it's interesting. There seems to be like an outside perspective, and then we talk to you, we get a different perspective. Do you think that play calling is something that would worthy of being addressed this week?
I think everything should be addressed this week. From the top down, you know, everybody just looking at themselves in the mirror and just and then having an honest assessment about themselves.
Yeah, you know, it just feels like, as you know, when you lose three games in a row, especially, I mean, that was a game you were well favored in. In the way that the Washington loss happened and then getting beaten pretty badly in Arizona, it's almost like you're at a point where your season is at a crossroads, right? I mean, you're 4-5 and now the division games begin. And we know how important that was, and I'm sure you were well aware of what the schedule looked like. Are we in a point now where if things don't change, then it's going to be hard to change the season? Does it feel like a tipping point?
Nah, it doesn't feel like a tipping point or a breaking point. I mean, we just got to go out there and play our best football from this week and on, because it's heavy division games and we need these games.
So, DJ, take us back to yesterday. It's the first series of the second half and is first down, and you get a completion for 18 yards. You came up, and that was as demonstrative and emotional as I think Bears fans have seen you after a play, good, bad, or indifferent. But I think that your emotional outburst there, it seemed like you were unleashing some frustration. Or how should we interpret what we saw and what was going through your mind?
I mean, it was just excitement and to know that I still got it. You know, went out there and did that. It was carrying dudes and stuff. So all the emotions came out. The fans, it went crazy in there. So that was much love.
Was that a point of emphasis at halftime? Did you come out? Because that was the first down, the first series, the first play. And it was like, okay, we have to get the ball to our playmaker because we've not been getting him the ball enough.
Nah, I don't think that was the, so to say. But when we ran out on the field, I heard the play call. I was like, oh, we got action right now. So made it work and did what I did.
You know, obviously the offensive line is beaten up, and obviously you are without a lot of starters. You've had to move people around. Whenever you have to make two moves to fill a position, that is not what coaches want, not what NFL teams want, but you're in that position. Are you aware of that? They sacked the quarterback 9 times, and they went into that game with just 16 sacks on the year. So they went from 16 to 25 in one game against a team that I think people thought would figure out a way to defend the quarterback, because he's a young guy. There's a lot on his plate. Some of that's his fault. Some of that's holding the ball. But when you're part of a team that has that many sacks go on, what's it like when you go back to the huddle? Do you inquire to his health? Do you tell him, hey, get rid of the ball faster? I mean, how does that work? What's the dynamic like?
Mainly just ask him if he's okay. He'd be taking some shots. And then after that, it's just like you can't say something, but then you can't say something at the same time because he's getting sacked and hit like he is, whether it's holding the ball or just like a free blitzer. It's a tough position to play.
What do you expect to happen today at Hallis Hall? Anything, nothing, the status quo, or a different change to the way that maybe the coaching staff is put together?
I don't know. About to go in here and find out, just like the rest of us on the team, and then probably the media, find out whatever happens. But other than that, I don't have nothing.
As a veteran who is a captain, have you been consulted since the game ended about what may be the next direction for this football team?
No, sir.
You're doing a good job of kind of staying away from the whole conversation. I know we're asking you a lot of questions about it.
And we appreciate that.
Yeah,
we really do.
Honest to God. And it's awkward, right? I mean, it's an awkward thing to ask you if one of the guys that is leading your team needs to go. And I don't think we want to word it like that. But I think that there is a feeling generally in the league that, you know, at some point you got to address this stuff. I don't know if it comes down to the confluence of different events, rookie quarterback, injuries on the line. But for whatever reason, you're at a point now where there may be some kind of change, where you're going into work and you may be told something that you weren't expecting. Does that change the day in, day out routine a little bit? Like, do you just look at it like, I got to go in, I got to get this done, that done? And I mean, are you anticipating, or are you excited or not excited? How does it impact you, especially Packer week?
Right now, I'm just going to go with the flow because it's Monday, and then I just got to watch film on the Packers this week. And whatever happens during the week, I mean, it'd be out of my control. If they ask me questions, I'll probably answer them. But other than that, I'm just going to go with the flow and do my normal routine and just get ready to go out there on Sunday.
You know, DJ, this is probably one of the first times that Caleb Williams has struggled as a football player. Going back, he's always the kind of guy who has enjoyed success. So he comes into the NFL, and things started to look like they were headed in the right direction. The last 3 weeks have been difficult. We have used the term regression to describe it. How open is he to have the conversations about what's going wrong, and how open is he to having the honest conversations about his role in it? Because I think what you want, we talk all the time, and you guys do as well, communication. And how open are those lines of communication between Caleb Williams and everybody who might be able to help him?
I think they are pretty good and open. Haven't talked to him. I think he's taking it in, and then he's trying to apply it. And I mean, that's all you can ask of him. So it's a tough jump going from college to the league, and I think he's feeling that, and he has to double down on being the quarterback that he is, and just find a way to turn it around.
Yeah, you know, you always wonder about a guy his age, right? You're a young man. You're in a position of authority. I mean, he's named the captain, and you're in a position where you have to have leadership. But maybe it's difficult to try to be the personality you are because you also are a rookie. Do you ever treat him as a rookie? Do you give him the authority that comes with his position? How do you personally handle that sort of dynamic?
Just staying who I am, and then just encouraging and just being where I need to be, just for this offense.
Are the plays coming in fast enough? It looks like times the play clock's running out, and Caleb does a lot of talking and changing at the line of scrimmage. Is the operation functioning the way the operation should function?
Yeah, the play calls was getting in fast. That was a plus this weekend. We was out there doing what we needed to do, and sometimes we wasn't.
So we look at the division. We know the division is it's as good as any division in football. It might be the best division in football. When you have watched the league from afar, have you kept your eye on what Detroit's doing, what Minnesota's doing, what Green Bay is doing? And, you know, we talk about Packer Week as a big deal. I'm sure you've been presented with all that stuff. They have been they haven't lost to the Bears since they hired that coach, which is hard to believe, frankly. And they're in danger. You're in danger of being a part of the longest losing streak to Green Bay in the history of the oldest rivalry in the NFL. Does this game mean anything more because of that?
Yeah, you know, it's Green Bay is a big rivalry. So this week is definitely going to be set in stone for how we're going to play the division. And I have been watching all the teams because they've been playing real good football right now. So it's interesting to see.
DJ, the Boo Birds were out yesterday. I don't know. It appeared like at one point you acknowledged them. You know it will continue unless things turn around. What's your general philosophy with handling people booing, and what was that all about yesterday?
Yeah, I don't know. We was getting booed in the first quarter, so I couldn't even tell you. Like, the game just started, and we was already getting booed. It was eye-opening. But then you got some fans that's just cheering on certain players and talking to certain players, and you got other fans going at certain players and talking trash to them. Like, I thought we was all one fan base and one team. But, I mean, I get it. They got a lot invested just as we do.
Hey, DJ, you're a total pro. You're the best, man. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks, DJ.
Thank you.
That is DJ Moore. That's a hard conversation to have. There's not one happy question that we're asking the guy, right? We're really putting him on the spot, and he handled it well.
In the midst of a tough year, individually and collectively as a team, this is not what he expected in year two with the Chicago Bears, especially coming off, you know, the big contract, big expectations, a lot more. He's involved in the leadership council. So, yeah, it's difficult. And he handles it as best he can. But there was a lot to go through. We had a lot of ground to cover.
We got more. I got more questions.
Okay.
We'll get to all of it. We'll get back to your phone calls, 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Hall on the Score.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
DJ, the Boo Birds were out yesterday. I don't know. It appears like at one point you acknowledged them. You know it will continue unless things turn around. What's your general philosophy with handling people booing, and what was that all about yesterday?
Yeah, I don't know. We was getting booed in the first quarter, so I couldn't even tell you. Like, the game just started, and we was already getting booed. It was eye-opening. But then you got some fans that's just cheering on certain players and talking to certain players, and you got other fans going at certain players and talking trash to them. Like, I thought we was all one fan base and one team. But, I mean, I get it. They got a lot invested just as we do.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Good to talk to DJ Moore. It is interesting to hear that perspective from a player being booed. You want to know why they started booing early? Because the Bears, they haven't done anything in the first quarter all bloody season. That's the reaction to that as much as anything else. And you look at the field position they had and what they did with it.
They've led for 25 seconds since they got back from London, okay, in three games.
Yes.
They have scored 27 points.
They've trailed in every game.
They're 6 of 40 in third downs for the last three games. Yep. If people want to boo, they have every right to boo. I don't think – does that need some context with DJ Moore's answer? If it requires some, I think we should try to provide some. I don't think he was saying you don't boo us.
No.
I think he was saying that, unless you heard differently, and I don't know what people heard. I don't want to interpret it for them. I did not hear him criticizing the fans for booing. I heard a mild surprise at some things that maybe they were saying to individuals.
Yes.
That you can only just imagine. We've all been to games and heard the stuff. But if a player acknowledges booing, I don't think that necessarily is a what do you, they have ears. They can hear. It's understandable.
Who knew that the Bears were heir to the White Sox season?
It's oh,
only
my
just
gosh.
Unfolded before us.
This is some state of affairs here in Chicago sports.
All right. 312-644-6767.
I mean, really? What did we do to deserve this?
I am befuddled. And I apologize for making a reference.
Thank you.
Justin is in River North and had the misfortune of attending yesterday. Good morning, Justin. How you holding up?
Hey, boys. I'm doing all right. Cheers to better days. I was at the game yesterday. The crowd was super into it at first. They give us zero reason to cheer apart from DeAndre Carter's return in like the first 2 minutes. I'm not one of those people that would boo my team, but at the same time, how do you score 3 points against New England? And to quote the great Ed Obradovich, this was the most pathetic performance I've ever seen. There's a thing known as the end zone. And also to quote you, the affable, there has to be a change in play calling. What were we doing? Swift would get 3 carries on consecutive drives, and then second half we didn't go to him. Lest we forget, there was the same number of points scored by us as the same number of times that Keenan Allen took his helmet off going to the sideline. There needs to be a shakeup. And seriously, I listened to Kutsi earlier. Bring him in as the interim coach, as the Colts did with Saturday. I'll let you guys take it from here. But last thing is, the Bears.
Thanks, Justin. It's a good phone call.
Saturday worked out so well. Let's hire Olin.
I said that yesterday to Olin on the postgame show kind of facetiously and was kidding, and I don't think he took the bait, but I think that would be a fascinating experiment.
How many times do you think he's been called Kruitzy?
Not many.
No.
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 Don't think you would probably appreciate that.
No.
But
maybe we should change his intro.
No, let's not.
Well, we might want to dump the song. I mean, if this is, we're going to go through this every week.
Yeah, we can dump the song.
Do we want to hear?
We can dump the Christmas song.
Before you guys go on, like Olin does sing. I don't put it on.
Oh, he does.
He sings it all the time. He loves the song. It keeps him calm. And that's my point. To keep
him calm. Yeah.
Yes.
That's the goal?
I want to keep him calm.
Well, he must have grown up with it.
Okay.
He's probably
fine.
He's probably a big Bing Crosby fan.
I'm not involved in those decisions. I'm like DJ Moore. I just show up to work.
I went to a wedding in Ireland. This is years ago. I was like in my 20s. And my uncle, who has since shuffled off this mortal coil, we were in the back of this car driving a couple hours. And he turns to me and he says, "Michael, who's the better singer, Bing Crosby or Frank Sinatra?" And I started laughing. I thought, that must have been a question that George Halas toiled with. And I was like, well, you know, Sinatra's got to be Sinatra. I mean, it's
a good question,
Sinatra.
Though.
And he looked at me and he shook his head, Bing Crosby. And I just loved it. I was totally set up. Neil is on the Odyssey app. Hey, Neil.
What's up, Neil?
If we lost Neil, that's on me.
How frustrating can it get? I mean, the Bears are never going to have a good team until they start building up their offensive and defensive lines. If they would have drafted Patrick Mahomes instead of Mitch Trubisky, Patrick Mahomes might not even be in the NFL anymore. You got to protect, you got to open up the holes, and you got for the running backs, and you got to protect the quarterback. The defensive line has to take care of that initial push. You can't depend on your defensive backs to save every play. Until the Bears get new owners, I don't think they're ever going to have a good team again.
Thanks, Neil. Appreciate the phone call. Sell the team. There we go.
I mean,
Neil's starting the chorus. Wait, is that from Guaranteed Rate Field or Soldier Field?
That's got to be
for the United Sox Center, season,
right?
I don't know. It's so confusing here. Everybody is so bad. Where do we go from here? Up.
It's
the only way to go.
We go to Marcus.
Okay.
He's on the road. Hey, Marcus.
Hey, Marcus.
Hey, good morning, guys. I was calling, man. It's just a continued tenure of just trash, man. You go back to Mark Trestman. You go back to Phil Emery. You go back to Pace. And now Poles is looking just like the rest of these guys. How much longer can we take the Bears being losers without feeling like they're taking advantage of the fan base. Have a great day, guys.
Well, Thanks, Mark. That's an understandable expression of frustration. I don't think the Bears are consciously trying to take advantage of the fan base, but I think the Bears don't know what they don't know sometimes. And this is systemic. It's going back to Trestman and Emery. You could go back further than that. I mean, it's been one Super Bowl since 85. All right. How good is your memory? Because the Bears cannot get out of their own way. And that is a tradition unlike any other at Hallis Hall.
Continued tenure of trash. That might be the phrase that stays with me from this show. Wow.
Wow.
That is rough stuff. And I mean, you could keep going. You could really.
Well, what is comparable to the Trestman era is the way that you're starting to see things unravel in the locker room. Yeah. With dysfunction spilling over into the public, and also some of the rather astounding coaching decisions, which are points of no return.
But it's also, I believe, when Matt Eberflus was talking yesterday, he talked about his relationship with the team. You know, that sort of idea that you are kind of a player's coach, and I'm not saying that he isn't disciplined, but he's been reluctant about instilling public discipline on his team. And I think that's a mistake. I think that, you know, when we talk about all the injuries on the offensive line, when we talk about all the pre-snap penalties, it's all accurate. Mm-hmm. But it's also a question of discipline. And it's a question of sort of reprisal for mistake. You worry that the standard isn't set to a point where, you know you can't make that mistake because there's no future in it.
Well, I think also the difference, I'm curious how you would answer the counter to that, which would be, and I'm not defending or suggesting this, but the counter to that would be, well, they did bench Tyrique Stevenson and they had plans to bench him after the fact to make a statement, and a player's coach.
Yeah, but the way they started that out, it made it look like they got publicly pressured into doing it. I'm not saying that's what happened, but I'm saying, you know, as you remember, we talked that week that you had to do something.
Well,
you couldn't let it go. You had to do something.
If Matt Eberflus were a state's attorney, you would say he's soft on crime.
But that's the same. This is the same argument of our culture is so good, we fired the coaches that misbehave. You might be better off not hiring them, and then you wouldn't have to brag about your culture because you did what you had to do.
This is what clouded the dynamic, I think, is that last year, because of the things that happened, he was thrust into the signal calling role that he wasn't anticipating when he took over the job. What he did as a result was he made the best of a bad situation. They clung to that idea. Also, Molly, what happened as a result of that was, I think, Matt Eberflus, head coach, also became Matt Eberflus, players coach to the defensive players, because they really enjoyed or appreciated the rapport they built up with the head coach. What happens when that is reality, yes, is that you lose some of your ability to be the tough guy.
The dynamic changes.
Yes, because you're no longer the head coach that nobody wants to, this persona that, you know, is the tough guy who's going to instill discipline, and you're not going to break my rule because the standard is the standard. You're not going to be Mike Tomlin. You're going to be the guy who is considered maybe more their buddy, who is the Flusie, who's going to call the blitz on third down. That's going to be the right button to push. And I think that, to me, even though it was celebrated as a good thing, ends up being a bad thing, because this is an undisciplined football team, and 4-5 right now, you don't know how they get that back.
312-644-6767. We'll be right back on Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
I listened to Krutzy earlier.
877-WEB-NOW-1.
Guys in this locker room still believe in this coaching staff?
I'm not going to go there. At the end of the day, we got to play better, and we got to win.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Interesting answer from Kevin Byard. in the post game, the idea that you're asked, are you, is your coat, has he lost the, I'm not going there.
I'm not going to go there.
Well, you're answering a question, maybe unintentionally. I don't know. He doesn't want to, I don't blame him for not wanting to say, yeah, this is a disaster. But you're almost saying that by your answer.
This is not a novice. This is a veteran who's been around for a long time. He has a savvy to him that other guys in that locker room don't have. I believe that he probably knew what he wasn't saying, if that makes sense. Sometimes you answer a question by not answering the question. And in that case, Kevin Byard passed on an opportunity to reinforce confidence and belief in the coaching staff. And to me, that was pretty telling.
This whole thing has been very telling. 312-644-6767. Let's start the conversation with John. He's in Rockford. Hey, John.
Hey, John. Caleb just
go ahead, John.
The ball too hard, and he passes.
Say that again.
He said he thinks Caleb's throwing the ball too hard and sailing some passes.
Yeah, he's sailing some passes. He's been inaccurate. There's no doubt about that. Yesterday, the wind was a factor, but it was for both teams. So he's got to be better than that, and he's got to complete those passes.
Don's on the west side. Hey, Don.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Excuse me. Yeah, man, I say now the season has to be about Caleb, man, because I don't know how you turn it around with these rush passer games coming up. Maybe you got a glimpse of a chance against Minnesota. I don't think so, though. So I say now, don't ruin Caleb. Start, letting them know that, all this bad mechanic stuff, you got to work that out. You got to get accurate yourself, but I think the season becomes about Caleb now. And, I know you got a lot of alphas, a lot of veterans that would disagree on that team. But until we are shown something, until they show themselves something, I don't think that we can really have hopes for anything much more. But, okay, thank you, guys.
That's a good point, Don, because we've had people suggesting that he should be benched. We've had people, just for his own protection, bench the guy. Listen, man, you preserve him. You preserve him as a player. You preserve his confidence, and maybe you take some of the decision making away from him. Maybe you start calling plays that he doesn't have to read and change or try some. Maybe you change the way you're attempting to deploy him because you can't protect him.
Going back to the day he walked into the building, he was drafted first overall. I think I said it, you've agreed, and we all kind of thought that everybody works for him now. He is the de facto CEO. Now, there's value in that, and if things go well, that is the right way to approach it. When things don't, this is what happens. You have somebody who might not be having the success everyone envisioned, so now people who might be working for him, theoretically, now resent that. Or they may not hear everything they want to hear from a leader who is a captain. You anointed him a captain before he took his first NFL snap. This is the downside of trying to rush him to the top of the food chain or the hierarchy in your football organization. I still think he's capable talent-wise. I think we both do, right?
Yes.
But I don't think benching him accomplishes much. You have to help him. Yeah. But you help him schematically. You help him by calling plays that make sense and from taking responsibility away from him so he can focus on making the right throw.
You have to preserve him. Get him out of peril.
Yes.
Don't have him playing
be
and
responsible.
Dropping back. Exactly.
Be responsible.
That's insane. Joe is on the road. Hey, Joe.
Don't bench him.
Bench him.
How are we doing today, boys?
All right, Joe.
How do you think that works out for players?
Not good.
All right. Sorry.
How do I know, Joe? Yeah, it's constant. Funny story, gentlemen. Actually pulling up to Soldier Field currently because, and it works, you guys are talking about culture, protecting Caleb. I'm in the Army band. It's what I've done the last 14 years. It's fantastic. Happy Veterans Day, fellow veterans. But 2016 through 2022, the Bears organization invited us up for the Veterans Day game. They said, yeah, we'd like the Army band to come and play. Can you guys do that? Absolutely. Then last year, they don't call, and we don't think anything of it until I noticed they have the Army field band there. Okay, cool, whatever. You get the big guys from D.C. This year we have nobody. Why do I bring that up? Well, where do the Bears play?
Soldier Field.
Soldier Field. We've gotten away from the base elements of this culture where, and all compliments to DJ Moore, commensurate professional this morning, like he's holding it together, but the top of this organization, the McCaskies, the Ryan Poles, the Eberflus, everybody in between, they have lost complete and utter sight of why this organization is so special to the city of Chicago. And it's the basic things like that where it's like, man, how do we get the crowd into it? How do we connect with our fan base? How do we just build that organizational trust that we should have? And then it leads into, if you don't do the little things, you end up watching Caleb Williams get sacked twice and two consecutive plays.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate the phone call.
Thank you, Joe, and thank you for your service.
Yep, thank you for your service. You know what else helps? Winning. Winning makes a lot of things easier to take and to stomach.
Doesn't that peeve you a little bit that they stopped having the Army band come on? I mean, come on, man. And it makes you wonder because, you know, just knowing people and hearing different things over the years, like they don't want to pay for it. Is that the idea? Or they don't want to – or they want people to pay to do it? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I don't really know what it is,
yeah. But that's a bad – and again, it is indeed – Veterans Day, it is the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. That's the end of the Great War, mm-hmm. World War I, and that's kind of how it started. We know what it means now, and we know they've changed it, but thanks to everyone for their service. We much appreciate our freedoms.
Yep.
And
Biggs time next.
We're going to talk to our guy Brad Biggs next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.